Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS call on Friday, the 1st of April, we have Boudouin Chombé, Carlos Aguirre, Sintra Suknanan, Alex Gakuru, Tijani Benjema, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Carlton Samuels, Olivier Crépin Leblanc, Dave Kissin-Doyel, Carla Valente, Elaine Pries, Avery Doria, Sébastien Bajolet, Dev Anand Tiluk Singh, and from staff we have Glenda Saint-Géry, Carla Valente again, sorry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, and apologies we have from Michaela Nalon and Rafik Damak. I'm just going to try and see whose line is creating the interference. Over to you. Thank you, Carlton.
Thank you, Gisela. Morning, everyone. Afternoon. Good evening, everyone. We're live and online. I'm sure you see the agenda that we are proposing. Is there any objection to running with this agenda as proposed?
Hi, Carlton. This is Sintra. Yeah. I would actually just like us to discuss the cost issue and perhaps a request to staff to determine, you know, how the cost can be unbundled and how we can reduce fees to needy applicants. So I don't know if we want to spend 5 minutes on that point.
Would that be okay with everyone, the request to have a quick discussion on the cost issue? My understanding of it is that Sintra would like to know whether or not we could unbundle the cost. It's $185,000, and if we could see the elements that create that, then maybe we could make an argument, a cohesive argument for reduction.
Did we already do that? I'm sure we should talk about it, but I thought we had already done that.
Avery, I can't answer that question because
okay. I don't object to it being on the topic.
Carlton, do you see the Adobe Connect? I have my hand raised.
Oh, I don't see your hand. I'm sorry. Oh, now I see it. Tijani, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, 2 points. First, I'd like to have the agenda posted on the list at least one day before our calls. It will be very interesting. People will be prepared to know what we will discuss. Second point, I think that the recommendation of Sintra are already on the agenda. The second point, I think. That's all.
Okay, Tijani. Let me say this, Tijani, about the agenda. The reason why it's good to have the agenda one day up, I agree. But recall that, really, I'm just putting it out just for the timing purposes because we've pretty much agreed what we will do on a Tuesday and what we will do on a Friday. I put one out because I want to have the timing known by all. That's really the gravamen of the agenda.
Thank you.
So there's no objection to having us have a discussion. All right, so if we make, I will take 5 minutes out of 7 minutes out of the report for the subgroup and talk about the cost, and maybe since Sintra is raring to go, Avery is up. Avery, you have.
Oh, I thought you were going to give it to Sintra first, since it was her topic. I just put my hand up to be there when she was done.
Okay. All right. Well, Sintra, you have the floor. It's your topic. We're going to talk about this in 7 minutes. So.
All right. Thank you, Carlton. This is Sintra. What I wanted to raise is two things. First, you have a TAS application fee, which is the $5,000, right? Is that still applicable to needy applicants? And secondly, you have a $180,000 lump sum fee, which is broken down into different categories. From the correspondence that is taking place on the list, which Avery was also a part of, I don't believe that we actually made a specific request from staff to go into what the specifics were for those fees. My area that I was looking at was the risk cost. And I guess my presumption was that part of that risk cost would be allocated to litigation fees and that kind of thing, and looking at a way to reduce those litigation fees. I don't know if there are any other suggestions. It is obvious that our criteria is going to the process rather than reduce. So Dev and I have been looking at areas where, for instance, the evaluation criteria, as well as the actual evaluation for completeness of application, can be done as a pre-step to the process, so that when the needy applicants actually go through the entire DAG process, they don't have to go through as much of a test, because a lot of those evaluations would have been done at the start when we were deciding whether or not they would be successful or ensuring their success at that point. Thank you.
Okay, so let me see what I'm saying. You say, let me just summarize it. The issue is, if we look at the cost structure, and there are certain items of the cost structure that, based on the way we define a process for needy applicants, some of that cost might be reduced by virtue of the process we propose. And therefore, we are saying that if this is the case, then we can actually begin to attract applicants who know very well that their cost coming through this process, their cost is going to be reduced. The cost is going to reduce. Do I have an understanding of it that way?
But I am also saying that some costs may be removed altogether for needy applicants, either removed or waived. But the only way we are going to actually be in a position to assess whether that is possible is if we have a clear understanding of what costs are allocated to what.
Okay. And you particularly was concerned about the risk costs, because you feel that if you have a system where the litigation risks are reduced, then
the applicant bears the risk rather than anyone else in the community. So the applicant will insure itself rather than I can insure itself for the entire process, including the applicant. The applicant be the one to insure itself of its individual risk.
Uh-huh.
That is just my suggestion, but that was kind of shut down simply because there was a difference in opinion as to what risk cost actually is.
Okay.
Which, in my mind, is still not clear and will only be clear until and unless we get feedback from
the how do you, so the applicant is a risk and ICANN is a risk. How would we, you are asking for an accounting of ICANN's risk costs as well?
I'm asking for each specific area of the budget set aside where that $180,000 is partitioned be further reduced so that we see the actual components.
Okay. All right. Avery?
Yeah, okay. A couple things. One, in the recommendations we made already that have never been fully acted on by either ALAC or GNSO, we did recommend A, reduction of some of the costs and some of the costs that would be taken off the top. So that recommendation is already made, just never acted upon. I've never seen even ALEC send it forward saying, yes, this is something that should be done. Two, we suggested that for applicants that were designated as meeting the requirements of the HELP program, that they would be given a staggered payment as opposed to a lump sum payment at the front. That, too, is a recommendation that's never been acted on. So those two are already in the pipe, and, you know, I don't know what more we could do other than to say take those off and do a staggered payment. Now, the risk costs are buried in the $100,000 that was something that both GNSO and ALAC felt we had no business talking about, no business doing anything about. Whether we want to or not, I don't know. That's up to us. I have no problem since I'm no longer in the role of chair. I don't care if we talk about stuff that's not on the charter. It's not my job to stop us. So I think that's fine. I would bring up in terms of the notion of risk and of people getting insurance for it, that does not protect it without actually, let me step back a second, without actually saying whether I believe it is appropriate for ICANN to bury risk costs for later lawsuits and other things in its application fee is another issue, as I think when the GNSO said, you know, this should be a self-funding application process, that did not include, you know, for everything in the future that might be incurred because somebody gets angry or someone makes a mistake. So in my notion, those fees were never appropriately bundled into the cost, but they have been.
Okay.
So, but they're bundled in that $100,000, which, as I said, we can't break up. But even if we look at risk costs, even if I have insurance as an applicant, that does not mean that some third party isn't going to come along and sue ICANN because they gave me special consideration because they feel they were treated unfairly in an application.
That's the issue, really.
Right. Well, that's
so
only one of the issues. But
yeah.
You know, and I had a last issue which just went whisking out of my head. So that was yet another problem with going further in this. But I lost it, and I come back to it if I remember it. Once I stopped to correct my, you know, to answer you, Carlton, I lost it. But I'll come back to it if I think of it.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. So the issue is to just sum it up, we have some recommendations that we can look at. I think it's important to look at the recommendations, and I think it begins because we are being asked to look at how we might support needy applicants, and one of the big costs is that application cost. So if I think it would be appropriate for us to reprise those recommendations and look at them as we make the case for support. I think it would be useful to look at them. With regard to the I see you, Tajani, and I'll come to you one in a minute, less than a minute. With regard to the risk costs, I'm not sure. Let me say this. If we can't find a way to clearly show how ICANN risk costs might be mitigated, how the risk to ICANN might be mitigated, then it is difficult for us to say that the costs associated with those risks, which are inherently bundled into the application fee, should be. So I think the challenge for us is to say how we would mitigate the risks to ICANN. Tijani.
Thank you, Carlton. I think that, yes, you're right. We should look at the recommendation already done in the milestone report. But I don't think that we have to come back on them now because we have a special mission. Our charter has goals, has objectives, and we have missions, and we have to do those missions. We can add things to what was done in the milestone report. We can update it according to the comments received, including the GAC comments. But I don't think that we have to revise it, to review it, to change it. It is something definite, finished.
Yes, you're right, Tijani. I was not suggesting that we revise it. I was suggesting that we take pieces of it and emphasize it in our report.
Yes, we can.
That's what we do.
Yes, we can. Thank you very much. Very good.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Alex, we'll deal with you, and then we move on to the next topic. Alex, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I think what I would suggest is that as we deal with all the comments we received since then, we can explain everything, not pieces of it, but what we was received as a comment and added to us, we can explain it as an annex to our report or our recommendation, so that then it's clear that where we had recommended before, we respond to those comments by stating what we had done before, and for example, what GNSO and ALAC reacted to, or maybe did not act on it, and said maybe they were not our work items. That way it is clear to everybody that we indeed dealt with the comment, and we have explained it as to why maybe it's not in our main in the main body of our subsequent recommendations. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you. Okay. Can we now move to the reports for the subgroups? Anybody here wants to start off? Sintra, would you like to start with your report for your group?
Well, if it's okay with Tijani, I don't have a problem reporting on the group's progress to
Go
this
ahead.
Point.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, we've posted our draft steps and criteria, and it's up for evaluation. I believe on the last call you had mentioned, Carlton, that everybody should maybe take a read and post their comments, and every being described will incorporate those. I have been looking at it with Dev in the context of the DAG and the DAG process, and there is need for refinement, particularly with regard to step 2 and step 3 in terms of evaluating and, in a sense, well, I would use the term front-loading the criteria of the DAG to ensure success for needy applicants, because we don't want them to come to a stage and then be rejected in the DAG process. So I believe our pre-qualification criteria should be an initial evaluation to gauge their success in the DAG. And then at that stage where they are evaluated in the DAG, it would, in my mind, just be an update on our pre-qualifying step. And perhaps we can look, as mentioned on the last call, at the same evaluators in the DAG performing that step for our group. The step 4, which deals with repayment and partial payment of fees, we also need to have criteria based on the income of applicants who have been successful in the process in order to determine how much they should pay back, whether it be in full or in part. So in that sense, I'm working with Dev to produce a flowchart and also refine those steps. Thank you.
Okay, I see your hand. Alex, did you want to talk again, or is it from the background?
I'm sorry, I'll lower the hand. It's left over.
Thank you. Tijani.
Okay, just to say that in last call we emphasized that people, that group members have to comment on what is already done, already written. But I didn't see anything on the list, and I didn't see anything on the comments on the wiki page.
Yes, that is indeed an issue. It would be. We are making appeal always for our folks to put their comments on the wiki page. It really does help in the consolidation of the thinking, so we have a position that is probably shared by most of us. And I would again urge everyone to make the comments there. The next hand up was Avery. Avery? Are you muted?
Okay. First of all, once again, I want to apologize for not having made any comments on the wiki or have written anything. I really did get bogged down with paying work, and I'm just about out of that now, so I should be able to do stuff for this group again, though I do mark myself as totally insane for having volunteered to do anything. And it's a disease I have to get over. But in terms of our process, or the process we're recommending, or I guess what's being called pre-qualification, unless something has radically changed, I have always understood this as a separate process. And in fact, calling it pre-qualification is indeed separate. Something that goes on during the 4 months of outreach and probably during the first month or two of the 3 months of application window. And I assume that it's still 4 months and 3 months. I was looking for that the other day, and I'm not quite positive, but I think it's still that. Now, none of the work that is done by the financial pre-qualification people will be done with the rigor and process that ICANN plans to use in the application process. And I think we have to assume that no matter how we make, or the people, that's obviously not us, but the process we create to make a determination on financial aid, no matter how that works, that information will be irrelevant to the actual application process of looking at the technical, of looking at the business plan, of looking at this. We wait.
The DAG process. The DAG process, in other words, Avery.
It's a separate process, and so nothing that happens in that financial qualification process has any bearing on ICANN's formal application guide-based process. We're separate and parallel. So I just don't see how it lessens anything. Thanks.
Avery, can I tell you that was my understanding of it. What I would say, though, is that the persons that are qualified for application support would go into that process with an asterisk beside their names, and where they are found wanting, especially in the financial outcome, then you would have some change there. But let me go to Sintra and then Andrew afterwards.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
I actually don't understand the asterisk. I thought that the process would therefore, within their financial explanation, would be included any of the help, although I guess you do get asked, if the board were to accept staggered payment, then yes, there would be a mark that says these people pay staggered payment as opposed to upfront. So yes, you're right, that would be one change on the process itself. Sorry.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's essentially what I'm saying. Sintra? Sintra?
You call, son. I agree with Avery that there are two separate processes, but I think we also need to assess that it's not only applicants who are applying for financial aid, but also technical aid that we need to cater for. And maybe I'm wrong, but in my mind, part of that technical aid would fall under the current evaluation process for DAG. And certainly, the stage where they actually check the application for completeness, that is something I believe that our group should do prior to the applicant applying through the DAG train. So in a sense, I can see that stage moving, jumping ahead into our pre-qualifying stages.
All right. Can I ask Andrew to weigh in here, and then we go back to Avering?
I just have one point that I wanted to raise that actually...
If you do it quickly. Do it quickly.
I do think we need to make special mention of IDN scripts and applicants that have multiple IDN scripts in order to ensure build-out of IDNs. And I think Andrew's point is going to be along those lines as well. Thank you.
Okay, great. Andrew.
Okay, well, Cintra, thank you. I do agree, although that wasn't actually the point that I was going to go for. I'm trying to clarify this a little bit. My apologies to all. I also didn't post this week. I was traveling for work and in a different time zone and completely discombobulated with a broken computer, so it's been a kind of a crazy week. Avery, to the extent that it's helpful, I'd be happy to assist with subscribing if you're, you know, if that's helpful. So what I'm hearing basically is that there are three stages of this. Tell me if I've got this wrong, but there's a kind of a pre-qualification stage where we say, is this a group of people that is this an applicant or a group of applicants that is appropriate for our process? And then they would go into the DAG process after we've taken a look at them with this notation, you can call it asterisk or not, it says that they're eligible for certain for certain advantages. Then the other question is what do they get? I don't know. You see what I'm saying? They seem to almost be three separate things. Unless I'm misunderstanding it, and then and certainly I do want to put in a flag for the IDN stuff, but we can come back to that in a second if everyone would like.
Okay. Can we just take
question
the last?
Does the question make sense, Carlton? I'm sorry.
Yes, the question makes sense. I have an understanding of it, but I'd like to hear first from Cintra. Well, was Avery was up? No. Yeah. Okay. Cintra is taken down. Okay. No. Let me just kind of give a heads up on what I think the process is. There is this pre-qualification process. There are people that we say these people have are qualified through our process to be given some support in their application. Those person then go in the pool with the asterisk, and the asterisk beside them says, yeah, they are only going to be in your funnel because we recognize and we recommend them for some kind of support, be it technical support or monetary support. I think they amount to the same thing. And then they go through that process, and every time they hit a roadblock in that process, it is resolved around the data that we sent along with that asterisk. That's my understanding of it. If anybody is violently opposed to and think I'm speaking off the top of my head incorrectly, then it would be good for you to say so we have a common understanding of what it is that we're trying to do as part of process. All right, there seems to be no objection. Can we go to the next group then, please? This is the group CG.
Okay, I suppose that would be me.
Yes.
As a group, we haven't done anything. As an individual, I keep talking to people and keep trying to find that first big voice that will say, yes, we're on the line to contribute to a fund if one is created, or yes, we are creating our own fund. There is at least one national group that is, as of yet, unannounced, but there is at least one national group that is creating a fund for their own nationals that will be willing to work with us and criteria, but their additional criteria would be, and the person is from within our territory and within our IDN script group. So there is one group that I've been working with that's talking about it, and as soon as I have their leave to announce or even pre-announce, I will. I don't yet. There are a couple other groups that I've been talking to, funding agencies, et cetera, trying to get the first one to, as I say, yes, if a fund were ever created, we would be willing to contribute, or we are doing our own thing, but willing to, you know, take the leads that you give us. So, but nothing formal's been done in a group. I've just been basically running around talking to people, and I believe that maybe a couple other people in the group have been doing the same, but we haven't communicated. That's it.
Thank you, Avery. Before we go to Team DEF, is there any questions from members of Avery? Andrew's raised his hand. Andrew, you're on.
Well, first thing, Avery, congratulations. That sounds like a lot of work, and that's excellent. I'd be interested in knowing if that...
Not to say that this group is trying to censor us talking about them.
Of course not.
No, my God. That was. Did that occur on everybody else's line or just mine?
That is my line.
Okay, well, I guess I'm not going to compliment you anymore, Harvey.
Thank you.
take it as given, okay? I'd be interested if it's a country that has if it's a country that shares an IDN with others. It might be, you know, for example, something in the Middle East might be worth discussing some more. There's one group in the Middle East that I think might be...
You could probably well know that as an Israeli, I'm probably not doing a whole lot of talking with people in the Middle East.
Fair enough. Okay, well, that's okay.
I mean, not that I don't get along well with
them. Doesn't necessarily preclude you from doing it, nor others. I just think that there's some that may be something that has some appeal. But anyway, I think that's really great. If it's possible to know who that is at some point, that would be useful, just so that we don't overlap, also so if we have a successful model for what's been done, I think that may be of value. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're going through a government process, which is what makes it not. Available at the moment, but I'm sure no one's overlapping with it.
Can I ask a question here? Because I'm seeing a thread here developed about the complementary scripts, IDN script, which is to say somebody pays one script, an IDN, TLD, which is in the script, and it can be used in a lot of places. Is there a sense also that we might have to bundle scripts in order to effectively support an applicant? And we don't have to answer that question now, but it certainly seems to me that that's going to be an issue. Avery, your hand is up.
Well, Andrew is still talking, but after...
Oh, I thought Andrew was complete. Andrew, you finished.
Carlson, that's something that our group is working on. So, I mean, we obviously have done some thinking about that.
Okay.
I don't know if why don't we deal with the fundraising issue and complete it now.
I thought that might be connected to the fundraising, and that's why I'm raising it here.
Okay. It may be. It's a fair question. I just had one more other question related to this, and I wanted to toss it out to Aubrey, but also to the broader group.
Go ahead, please.
Do we have any – I'm familiar, for example, from the time I've spent working at the bank with the idea of having nationally defined trust funds, which is to say, like, a country says there's a Nigerian trust fund at the African Development Bank where you know, that could be used for the purchase of services from Nigerian companies only, but that is otherwise to be is available for use on anything. And so I'm wondering, do we have a problem with the idea that that the, you know, if the funding comes only from one country and is only available to the nationals of or groups or companies or whatever of that country, do we have a problem with that? And probably more importantly, would ICANN have a problem with that? I don't know the answer, but I wonder whether that's gonna there's a subsidiary issue to that. Thanks.
Avery, can you go?
Yeah, I can address that sort of. First of all, this would be something that would be both judged and given by the foundation within that country itself. So I can't imagine that ICANN could or should have problems with what some other country does within its country to give aid to people in its country for making an application. They have no intention of relying solely on applicants that would come through any process we may or may not be able to create. What they have said is they're doing their own thing. You know, they've seen the work that's being done here. They think it's a good idea. They're doing their own thing. And if ICANN's thing includes giving them references for people they should put through their process, great. You know, if ICANN were to say, oh, sorry, if we don't administer it, then you can't be an applicant, well, then I think we have another serious problem with ICANN's control over things going on in, you know, other countries. But, so I can't really imagine an issue there. I had originally raised my hand on the relationship of bundling to this. In this case, I don't think there's a relation to bundling. I personally, and this is no disparagement on the group, I'll still be shocked if we get the program to change where a bundle of names is considered to be a single application, since that's been such a definitive part of the program from the GNSO recommendations on out, that one name was one application. But, you know, is it related? I guess at the highest level everything is, but I don't see it as particularly related, other than, you know, a donor group sort of saying, oh, gee, you're going to apply for two of them. Well, yeah, we think that's a good idea. We'll help support you with both. But beyond that, I don't understand the relationship to bundling. I never have, though. So I admit it's my ignorance.
Okay. Can I go to Alan?
I was just going to comment on Andrew's question. And the original ICANN concept was that ICANN publicize a list of external donors who are willing to do something. And I think it's a given that external donors will all have their own qualifications, whether it's the African Development Bank or other organization, and whether it's a national criteria or race or industry, they're all going to have some qualifications. And that was ICANN's best version at the time. So I can't see any objection to it.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay.
Back to Andrew and then Alex.
Yeah,
folks, we need to be very brief in our comments.
I'm trying to. I'm going to. Alan, the question that I had was when we. I guess the only question is to the extent to which it touches ICANN per se, and if it goes directly into an ICANN, into the ICANN DAG system after receiving support, is there a preference that ICANN is perceived as giving? I don't know. I think you're probably right, but
Or ICANN will set limitations, saying you can only give money if there are no qualifications. You know,
fair enough.
Either gets in under the terms ICANN allows, or it doesn't get in at all. So
That is my sense of it too. There's two things. We want to encourage whatever foundations, country, national, for whatever criteria they use, because we need to take the position that it's public infrastructure and they're contributing to public infrastructure. That's the first thing. And they would know that they're contributing in context of a set of rules set by ICANN, and so long as they make the rules, then they're in. That was my understanding of it. But I move now to Alex.
Thank you very much, Carlton. At the June 2010 Brussels meetings, I reported the support the JAS working team was receiving from the government of Kenya. It's on the transcripts. And in view of GAC's comments at the last meeting we had in regard to support for developing countries' participation on the new GPLDs, and of course close to addressing my region's needs, and of course these are 52 African countries which are in the developing region, I'll be willing, and also being part of every team of fundraising, to explore further that support and see if it's possible whether the government or it could be extended into some Africa-wide initiative that is supported by government. In other words, for them to support rather than just only one country, it could be continental. And so I just wanted to hear the group's views of that. I'm not asking for the government to apply, but if the government could give their support to this initiative Africa-wide, whether it's through Africa Union or any other relevant body, I may be advised. I'll be more than glad to explore that further. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. We're going to move to the next report, and that is the report from the group, DEF. Is anyone online that is in that group?
I think that's me, Carlton. This is Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. So we have no progress in DEF. I think Carla, maybe she's on the call. Maybe Carla, if you've done anything more with the website or if you have any information there, that would be helpful.
Carla?
Yes, I'm here. Could you please repeat the question?
So we're talking about workgroup DEF, which is the matching of contributors and media applicants. And I was just asking if there's been any more work on the website that's been proposed.
Not more work, because now it's legal, reviewing the terms and conditions and the disclaimers that need to be there. So I'm hoping to have some more progress next week.
Okay. Definitive question. Anybody has anything to offer on this? Alan, your hand is up. You have the floor, sir.
Sorry, that was from before. Take it down.
Okay. And I'm getting fast, busy online. Somebody fell. Hello? Okay, it's gone now. Hello? Hello?
You're there.
Hello?
You're there. Everybody can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. All right. I'm. All right, so that was the report from the group DEF. Elaine is ramrodding that one. Can we move quickly to Team H? Anybody online from Team H? That's the one where the review, the basis of the fee? Hello? Is anyone hearing me?
Guild, because it was taken out of.
I'm sorry?
Isn't that the working group, the team? And because things got mixed up when... with the letters when ALAC redid the charter. But isn't that the team that was looking into the 100,000 that's no longer on our charter?
Okay. Yes, you're quite right. That's the team. We don't longer need that team. That's true.
Well, maybe we do, but it was disallowed.
It was disallowed.
I would agree that we probably do need them, but I don't know if we get them.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me, Avery. That's exactly what happened.
If even ALAC thought that this was a bad idea, I mean, what are we going to do?
Thanks for reminding me. That was, in fact, what it was. Okay, so we've had the all of the reports, and we're 10 minutes.
Wait a second. You left off the IDN group.
Yeah. If I can make a recommendation, we might want to rename our groups now that these letters don't associate anything, so we know.
Okay.
I would like to agree with that. Let's name them on the basis of what they do, because I can't remember which is DEF and H and all that kind of stuff. So one is a funding group, and another, you know, make it a little bit simpler.
Okay. Yes, the IDN group was the last one. We call it Team I, actually.
Right. Yeah, that's the one that maybe fits.
Yes.
Because of the.
So my bad. Can we hear what is happening in that group? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very quick, really. We've been having a series of good conversations with different group members and getting some good input, and have had some input from outside the group as well. I am working to put together some text based on some stuff that we've worked on from the earlier report, as well as some inputs and some wordsmithing from Carlton yourself and some others. And what I'm hoping to do is to have something to circulate no later than close of business on Monday that we could discuss first thing on Tuesday, if that's okay with the group. It will be a with and answer all the questions that have come up to this point. All right?
Yes, we hear that, Andrew. Does anybody have a question for Andrew on that? No question for Andrew. Can I take up then the recommendation that we give meaningful labels to these groups? Is that okay?
Yes.
Sure.
Can we then have proposals for the group AB? Would it be usual just call it the criteria group?
Well, criteria is only half of what it's doing, but qualification.
Criteria and qualification groups.
Or just qualification.
Qualification groups. Is that okay? Anyone violently opposed to calling the group the qualifications group? Okay, seeing no objection, we'll just call it the qualification group. So now we are to the next group.
I'd call it financial donors and perhaps call the next one service donors or something like that.
So average group, we're calling it financial donors group. Is that okay? Is that okay?
Yes.
There being no objection, group CG now becomes financial donors group. The next group.
Almost like an in-kind. At first I said service donors, but it's more than that. It's technical. It's whatever. It's more like an in-kind donors. as opposed to financial donors.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense to Elaine.
Elaine, this is your baby, so maybe you could say if you agree with...
Only donors, it's also, you know, finding those applicants that need those services, those service donors are providing. So
you are suggesting that it becomes a service donors group, or what?
But that's sort of, that leaves off the idea that those donors are giving services.
You're fading. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you at all.
It's more of a matching thing, so I don't know. But I don't care.
In-kind services, then.
In-kind services, perfect.
In-kind services? Is there any opposition to the use of that term, in-kind services?
Just a question. Does that imply that those services are offered gratis, or that doesn't really matter? Actually, never mind. I take it back.
Okay, and then we have the last one, which is just the IDN group. Everybody would agree that's just an IDN group. Yeah, that's the one with Andrew.
Uh-huh.
So there be no.
Well, actually, it might just be IDN support as opposed to just IDN, because there are so many IDN groups.
Fine, IDN support.
That's fine, IDN support. I mean, to call each of the subgroups some sort of support makes sense anyway.
Yeah.
That's fine. So all the groups are renamed now. So here forward, we will refer to them by these new labels. Is there any other objection? Okay. So, all right, we have 4 minutes until the top of the hour. And we'd take the next 4 minutes to, I think we're going to skip the criteria recommendations this time. I had hoped that we could get back to it just for a brief time here on this thing, but we are out of time, as it were. Cintra's raised her hand. Cintra, do you have? Cintra?
Thank you. This is Cintra. I just want to make one quick point with regard to the GAC developing country criteria. Was there any progress? Are we still in the process of writing them? I've had no contact with Tracy Hackshaw, but I don't suspect that they have done much in terms of, or I'm not sure if they're even aware that we do want them to help us with this aspect of it, or if they know that we're actually still determining whether or not we will incorporate or not. So I just wanted to get a status on that bit of
it,
so that if I do have any dealings with him, I'll be able to speak appropriately.
Well, let me just say this quick response. Rafiq and Andrew took on the task of putting together a set of questions. The questions should have been ready any time now. We would hope that the questions are put to the list, and we will look at the questions and see whether they are appropriate, fit for purpose. The purpose, again, repeat, is that we wish to hear from the GAC, but we are not going to stop the train for the GAC to catch up. If they come back with anything that is important, we will incorporate it as we go along, but that, I believe, is what we agreed. To the extent that we solicit their input and it comes back to us, I think it would be appropriate for us to discuss it. But we are waiting for that set of questions to come on the list. Rafiq isn't here. Andrew's on, and they might make the prep. Andrew's hand is up anyways. So, Andrew, you have the floor.
Sure. First of all, I think everyone agrees with your approach. The questions we put together, and Elaine contributed into them as well, were designed to elicit exactly that response. We worked to try to come up with a clarifying framing for it so that they got clear language that we were not planning to stop what we were doing, nor were we asking them to give us an okay on everything, but rather specifically to the issues that they had brought to the table. That was in Rafiq, from what I remember, that was on Rafiq's table, and I'm not sure whether he sent that forward or not. So, Carlton, it might be worthwhile for you to check in with him. It obviously should have come from the chairs of the group. So I honestly don't know what actual follow-on communications we've had with them, but I do know that there's language that's already been prepared and that I think it's pretty clear. I think everybody who saw it was pretty comfortable with it. So,
all right. Can I recommend this until Rafiq comes back?
Is this language on the wiki?
Oh, Rafiq and I worked on it, and I sent it back to him and I think Carlton. So it's not all that, Avery. It's mostly just paraphrasing the conversation that we had had about what we were looking for their help with, and clarifying that we were not asking them to review or to, basically that we weren't asking them to bless every aspect of it, nor were we looking for the help in every aspect, but specifically to the aspects that they had brought to the table.
But I understand, if I understand correctly, you're talking about sending them a missive of some sort.
Yes.
I'm wondering if that is text that's been drafted somewhere and is on the wiki, that's all.
It should have been placed on the wiki, and that's what I'm suggesting, Avery. The Rafiq and the working on it, I'm suggesting that it be placed on the wiki so that people can invade on it, and then once we have a general consensus, we can send it forward.
Got it. Okay, well, I sent it back to the chair, to at least Rafiq, and I think often, I don't know if you got it or not.
No, I haven't seen anything.
I will resend it to the chairs. If you guys are comfortable with it, please let's put it on the wiki. That's fine.
Okay. Avery, you still have your hand up. We are at the top of the hour.
Oh, I already spoke.
Okay. We are a minute past nine. I really would thank you all for this call. See you all next Tuesday, all being well. Thank you all. Good morning, good evening, good night.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.